Well, let us worship God. Let us sing in Psalm 32, Psalm number 32, and we begin, of course, at the beginning, verses 1 to 4, Psalm 32. Let us read now in the Gospel according to Luke in chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us pray together. Eternal God, our great, holy, heavenly Father, the word of the gospel is a continual challenge to us, a continual accusation in some ways, a continual consolation in so many other ways. It is to us the very word of life, the information in history that we need to understand and hold on to as glorious and gracious realities. And so as we come again to consider the words and the works of the Savior, the Son of Man, who has come to seek and to save that which was lost, we pray that we would take no offense at anything that he says to us, that we would not dig in our heels and persist in our own ways, that we would gladly receive him as Zacchaeus did on that day when Jesus passed through Jericho, and that we would be always open to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. And so as we gather here this morning, we pray that our hearts would be touched by the gladness of the good news, that we would remember that Christ has come, that his work on earth has been achieved, that everything that he has come to secure in terms of seeking out and saving sinners, that that work has been soundly grounded and completed. And in the glory of heaven now, even today, he is the same yesterday and the same today and the same forever. And he continues and will consummate that work until at last the whole gathered universe will recognize what it is that the Lord has done, and that there is no need for more to be done. Nothing can be taken from it. Nothing needs to be added to it. No need for any change. No need for some minor alterations here and there. The gospel, the perfect work of God, the completed scheme of salvation, all that we need to know, all that we need to experience, all that we need to embrace in Christ is revealed to us, and the way of salvation is made perfectly plain, so that those who hear are given the choice to choose this day life or death. And we are urged in the scriptures to choose this day, to choose life, that we may live and not die. So we give thanks once again, our gracious Father, that we have this opportunity of an open door, an open church, and an open Bible, and the open mouth of a preacher, and we pray the open hearts of those who are willing to receive, and not only to receive today, but to receive for tomorrow and all our tomorrows, covered by the choice and the choices that we make day by day concerning the Christ. What shall we do with this man called Jesus? And the scripture, O God, urges us, commands us, entreats us, tells us what to do, the one right thing to do, to receive him gladly. And so as we come to pray and to praise and to worship, we do so in the glad news that the gospel is not a message of antagonism to us, not a destructive message, not an unfriendly message, but an overture of grace, mercy, and peace, an overture of God whereby the Lord entreats us, beseeches us to be reconciled, because he has made reconciliation and we can have peace with God. So we pray this for ourselves, we pray this for our families, we pray this for our neighbors, we pray this for our casual acquaintances, our work colleagues, we pray this for our enemies even. We pray this for our rulers over us in these days when there is so much obvious sheer antagonism and hatred being expressed in high places, where even nations are tearing themselves apart, and where there are those rumblings and rumors and sword-rattling murmurings of wars and rumors of wars. O God, these are the signs of the times in which we live. And so we pray that we would pray for those who make big decisions concerning all those issues. Help us now to come and to pray with confession, to pray with thanksgiving, to pray with intercession, and above all to pray with adoration. This is our prayer, O God, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us read again in the Scriptures, 1 Samuel, the first book of Samuel, and in chapter 3. First book of Samuel, and in chapter 3. This well-known story of the calling of Samuel. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious. That means it was scarce, hardly known. It was scarce in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou called me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou did call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so on. Amen. Well, we remind you of the notices, of course. Our evening service at 6 o'clock, Wednesday meeting 7 o'clock, next Lord's Day 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We remind the deacons that we're going to meet as deacons on Tuesday, usual place, usual time, this coming Tuesday. Deacons, please take note. We welcome visitors with us, and we will now receive the offering. Well, let us continue then in Psalm number 32 and verses 5 to 8. The next section from verse 5 to verse 8, six stanzas to God's glory.